Well, we're grateful to be here with the saints again. Grateful we can gather to worship the Lord. You know, last evening, Brother Dan got up and later on he said, we both kind of got up somewhere around the same time, I think. And then he kind of apologized to me later. I don't know why he did at all, because I think it was exactly what the Lord wanted last night. He sure doesn't need to apologize to me. The Lord really blessed. That was a wonderful, wonderful message that the Lord gave us last evening. If you missed it, I'm sorry for you. It was really good. I believe it'll be posted online if it's not already. But I feel like the Lord has something here for us this morning. We need the Lord. We always do. And we're not a large congregation here this morning. Maybe we can kind of talk together as friends. But we want to exalt our Lord today. One of the things that happens typically in life, we find friends. We find associates. We spend time together, and with our peers and those people we spend time together with, we get affirmation from them, and we kind of think these are normal things to do. If we are around a group of people who are willing to accept lower morals, you'll start feeling like it's all right. You'll start thinking that you'll find excuses to accept things that aren't good. There's reasons, I believe, why God gave children to parents. Parents are generally older. They've had some more experiences. And I also think there's a reason why the Lord allowed parents to grow up to be grandparents. It's not just the joy of being a grandparent. There's also, we have, as you get older, you have more of life's experience. And along with that life's experience, sometimes, hopefully you'll find a little wisdom you can put in your pocket and carry along with you. And hopefully try to share that with those coming on. I'm not the oldest one here this morning at all. I'm also not the youngest one, and I have grandchildren. And sometimes, you know, we watch, we want to influence, and it's okay. It's all right for older ones to want to influence those that are younger, especially if you've tried life and you've sometimes in the course of living life, you're going to kind of bump your nose against some things and realize, I shouldn't have done that. That's not right. And it's all right to say to your younger ones, that wasn't a good choice I made there. And try to pass on to them some of that wisdom that we learned, that hopefully when they come to that place in their life, they don't hit their nose as hard as what you did. Because we're wanting to protect them. So the Lord does that for us. He's interested in giving us of His very Holy Spirit. Yes. To try to enlighten us, to shine light on our pathway, that we might be aware of things that we should avoid. We'd like to turn over here in the book of Luke, 5th chapter. I'm thinking of how important it is. I think, wasn't it Brother Paul, perhaps in one of the Corinthian letters, that said something like this, that evil communication corrupts good manners. On the other side of that, when we have good association, good people we associate with, we can be a blessing to each other. Well, these people here at the first, we'll just start off here with the first part of Luke, the fifth chapter. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, who was him here? This was Jesus they were talking about. What caused the people to press upon him and to hear the word of God? There was something, I believe, that they were very hungry in their spirit for. Not unlike today. We heard the request this morning to younger people, perhaps in their 20s, that they feel like they don't even want to face life anymore. And a lot of times around this time of the year, that seems to be so accentuated in many people's lives that they feel alone and they feel needy and they feel outside of help, and it looks like while everybody else is saying Merry Christmas, they're not very merry at all, and they don't have much hope. That is something that this world, I think, is thirsty. They're hungry. And back in the time of Jesus, when he was here on this earth, and he ministered hope. He ministered truths to people. Things about life that helped people as they dealt with life. What do you think about the woman at the well? You know, I don't want to just go invest everything this morning in that story, but let's stop and think of it just a little bit. The woman at the well, she was a woman that evidently, by the count we find in the scripture, she was a very troubled person. There was things happened probably very unpleasant in her life. Over and over. Remember when Jesus said, go get your husband? You remember what her answer was? I don't have one. But yet, this had been a cycle that had been repeated over and over, and it wasn't satisfying. There was all kinds of trouble in her life. Likely, when this happens, there's a certain amount of stigma that goes along with that. And she felt very alone. But Jesus stopped by and talked and gave her a drink. Gave her a cool drink of water, not from Jacob's well, but from the well of heaven. Gave her some hope. These people, it sounds to me like when Jesus was here and he was sharing, there was something began to flow out of this man as he talked to people. It just rang true in their heart. They knew what he said was right. Even if he said, go find your husband, she knew what was right. We know generally in our heart, when we hear the truth and it begins to ring, the Lord's word, the Lord's counsel to us, when he says, turn from the wrong, cleave to that is good, we hear it and we know it's so. When he tries to call us away from the frivolity of life, that we try the things people invest their lives in, substance abuse was mentioned this morning, and I want you to know that God has an answer for substance abuse. He has a perfect antidote for that. It's a satisfying portion. You see, if you drink of this well, you'll get thirsty again. But there's one that comes down from heaven itself that'll be within us, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And this is what God has to answer the needs of people in this dry and thirsty land we live in today. He's still there. He still has a well that he's offering people to drink from. These people back there likely also were very hungry and thirsty. You see, they had a system going to synagogue, going through their ritual, going through perhaps legalistic rituals. And likely every one of those things, they had their place. The law of Moses had its place. It was glorious and it was good, but it was intended to point them toward Christ. And it was intended to excite something down in their spirit that had them looking and longing and praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I need that peace. And when Jesus began to teach people, I believe there was something that came out of his mouth, the words that fed their souls, the things that God began to, the word of God that began coming to them. I believe it excited something inside them, saying, oh, these are words that I've never really heard like that before. There's some hope in these words. Truth in these words. Guidance in these words. All this that I need in all this dry and thirsty land, that places things I cannot gain just by the legal road of the law. All this that I've tried to do, it hasn't given me what this man is giving. And so here, the people, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships. I don't know. I don't know what brought him here. He likely walked there, got to this place, and people mobbed around him. Perhaps his back was against the water. I don't know how he felt. I think if I was in a crowd, I got surrounded with the people, I'd start feeling depressed. But they were people that were hungry. And he said he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. You know who Simon is, don't you? Simon Peter. He was a fisherman here this day. He was perhaps not intentionally part of the crowd that day. He had been fishing, just been out doing his normal day's work, came back to shore, had been fishing all night, wasn't very successful, came back to shore preparing his nets perhaps for the next time out, maybe the next night when he's going to go out and try to catch some fish. Feeling probably a little bit down. And here this crowd shows up. And a man who's talking to these people says, can I use your boat? He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. He didn't abandon them, did he? He kept feeding their souls. I don't know how long he did this. It doesn't say. But likely, he was just giving them, it was just the word of God. Maybe we should stop for a little bit at that phrase and examine it a little bit. You know, what do you perceive as the word of the Lord? It's contained here in the Bible. That's true. We have it here. But sometimes the Lord wants to personalize his communication to us individually. In our time of need. Now, he never contradicts what's written here in the scripture. But he has a way of ministering to your soul in your time of need. The word of God gets personalized to us. And the word of the Lord comes and gives us counsel. Sometimes we think of the word of the Lord there can be a certain fear and a dread that talks about eternity and about judgment to come. And that's all in the word of the Lord. But before you get to that, and that's truth. Before you get to that, don't pass up the words of Jesus when he told us that for God so loved. Because God has an answer that we don't need to dread eternity. God has a plan. He's got a way to save our souls from the dread. This is all part of the word of God. And the word of God that was coming down to these dry, thirsty people this day, I believe it brought to some of them, we use the term conviction. Sometimes that, along with that conviction, we have a strong sense of my spiritual need. And that's proper. But another element of conviction is a strong sense of knowing what is right. Convinced that this is so. That's also part of conviction. So along with this word, I believe people that was on the that was in that crowd listening, and as the words began to come out, I believe there were some of them said, I know that's so. I know that's right. Even though they may not have been doing it that day, or perhaps they were in a quandary in their mind, not knowing which way to go, but the word of the Lord came out. And it started clearing things up in their mind. He's still the same today. It's not uncommon for us humans to need Him. In fact, it's every day we do. We always need Him. This isn't just for the crowd around the Lake of Gennesaret that day. It's for us. The word that the Lord brings to us to bring clarity to our minds, to bring direction for our future. This is the Word of God. He does come sometimes and say, amend your ways. He will do that because He loves us. But He doesn't come with a crushing blow. He comes with a hopeful guidance, with a loving hand, that we may not be the same person we were yesterday. This is the Word of God. This is what He comes to commune. Oh, we look back longingly sometimes and think, oh, I wish I could have been Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Well, the cool of the day has come again. It is true yet today that you and I can enter into a quiet place with the Lord and commune with Him and hear His Word and feel His touch, His tendering touch, that touch that calls us away from old carnal self again to a place of holiness, to a place of righteousness, to a clean mind that thinks right, that has a that builds within the very soul of man a detesting of the things that are wrong. Not to detest people, but I realize the poison in it, and I don't want that part of me. Some of the vile things that the world is so involved in, and they're hopeless in that. But some of those vile things that the world is involved in, it becomes detestable to us. Oh, at the same time, we look at others that are involved in it and we have love for them because we know that there is hope. We know if somehow we can get this truth, if the Word of God could just come to them and speak to their soul. Lead them away from that. God has an answer and has hope. Well, these people, they came to hear the Word of the Lord. Went into that ship, sat down, talked with them, and latter part of that verse, he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Fourth verse now. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I believe that was very purposeful. I think Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew the man he was dealing with. He knew the place he was in. I don't know. We're not let into a whole lot of how Simon and Peter, or James and John, you know, this is where they enter into the picture right here in the scripture. Peter, James, and John all went fishing. Here's part of it right here. They had been fishing that night. It's likely that Peter came in a bit dejected. Perhaps he thought, my living isn't going to be very good today. Don't have anything to sell. He likely wasn't feeling on top of the world right then. Yet, this man, he was speaking such gracious words. He heard them. And at his word, he took him out and let him talk with the people. Peter was a captive audience, wasn't he, right there? And he heard. And I believe the more he listened to those words, the long night of failure, probably the weight of that began to lift off his shoulders. He may have thought, well, I just wish I could listen to him all day long and tomorrow too. Maybe I don't need to go fishing. Thou hast the words of eternal life, you see. And he was out there in the boat and Jesus got through speaking to the people, and Jesus said, let's go fishing. I imagine that was one of the last things that Peter was really interested in doing right then. He said, Lord, I've done it all night long. Haven't been successful. Yet, since you said, I'll do it. Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I just suppose that Simon, as he began to let that net down over the side, probably in the back of his mind, he thought, this is just a useless exercise. But he didn't know what Jesus had in mind for him. Didn't know the object lesson or the winning of the heart that was just about to happen. Yes. The faith that was about to be so strongly birthed within his very soul. You see, he heard the words before and excited something in there. But that after this experience, it drove something very deep in Peter's heart. Simon answered, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the nets. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Wonder how that happened. You know, there's more than just humans that hear the word of the Lord. Those fish heard it too. Donkey knows how to talk. Did you know that? When the Lord tells him to. Lord knows how to. The Lord's king. All souls are mine, including those who don't serve him. And will give account before him. He's the Lord of all. And these fishes, they heard. And the Lord brought them there. Put them in that net. And their nets were strained to the breaking point, and they beckoned to their partners, James and John, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. How do you get that many fish in a net? Only the Lord. Don't think Peter or James or John, I don't think any of them had ever seen something like that before. And they knew this was a miracle. And they knew, they were confronted, they were convicted, they were convinced that this is something special. They may not have known this was the Son of God at that moment, but they knew this was the evident manifestation of God Himself. And they beckoned to their partners, filled the ships, and they began to sink. Eighth verse now. When Simon Peter saw it, folks, when we have a personal audience, when we are unexpectedly confronted with our Lord, we can't keep from self-examining or recognizing ourselves. That's what Peter did. He had this encounter. Jesus, it was clearly, this was a miracle. This had to have been God doing this, and it caused Peter to humble himself. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I don't think he really wanted him to depart from him, but he didn't want to be destroyed in his sinful state. We don't have to be destroyed in our sinful state. Peter didn't know what to do. He was confronted with so much at this moment. The belief that God was standing before him, talking with him. These words that had just previously had so excited his spirit. And maybe excited may not be the word that I need to use there. It had been so true and so precious and so penetrating to his heart. These words that had convinced him about a God of love. I don't know what all Jesus said, but I'm sure it was wholly consistent with the other words that were written down here. Jesus loved people. Those who came hungry, Jesus didn't run them off. He fed them. Even the Syrophoenician woman. You remember that one? When I read that on face value, at first I thought, thinking, that's no way to treat somebody. Call them a dog? No, Jesus was entering down into her very heart. And she said, you can call me whatever you want to. She just came right on down in humility. And what did Jesus do after he worked with her in that way? Didn't he heal her? Didn't he heal, give her the desire of her heart? I'm sorry? Yes, healing is a children's bread. The Lord gave healing to her, her family, her needs. Oh, the Lord is so good. Jesus is still the same. He was that, I believe, when he was talking with this crowd here. I believe there were such gracious words, such words of counsel and things that went just convinced people down in their heart. And Peter was there and he heard that. And I believe that at this moment when he knew that all these words that had so sunk into his very soul, he was convinced, I'm standing now in the presence of a holy one. What do I do with this defiled me? And the best he could do was fall on his knees. I'm in need. I don't deserve being here close to you. In fact, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do with myself in your presence. I'm in trouble. What does Jesus do for people who acknowledge they're in trouble? You ever seen him run one off? No, in fact, he stands there even yet today with his nail-scarred hand stretched out and says, come to me. If you're in trouble, if you're laboring, if you don't know what to do with yourself, come to me. He's the answer. He still has gracious words of hope and direction and counsel in our lives. He doesn't leave us alone. Once he forgives our sins, he's still there. He doesn't walk away. He's there to guide us and help us in our life. That's a good place when we find ourselves before the Lord. We're going to feel so needy. We're going to feel like Isaiah did. I think Isaiah was a man of God. But when the Lord, I know he was a man of God. When the Lord showed him that vision there in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and there was a shaking, and there was a revealing to Isaiah who he was. He was a man of God, but there was, you may be a man of God, we may all be children of God today, but I want to tell you the Lord's not through working with us. Isaiah saw himself in a different light that day. Just a few moments before, he wasn't able to comprehend that. But now, he was confronted with the very august majesty of heaven. The holiness of God had sat down beside him. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I said some things and live amongst people like that. And I need help. I thought I was doing right. But now when I see you, it impacts me so deeply, I feel my need. I'm not talking here about sin here. We're talking about places that the Lord wants to purify the sons of Levi. And that's you and I. He tries to help us with life. And here, I believe that Peter had one of those moments, and Peter likely needed salvation at this point. I don't know exactly his spiritual condition, but he felt very needy, and he fell on his knees. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Ninth verse, and he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, you don't need to be afraid when you're this close to the Lord. You don't need to be afraid. You need to be pricked in your heart. He never said that you didn't need that. You need to feel the touch of the Lord. You need to feel that call. But you don't need to be afraid. Because the one who has confronted you is the one that knows a path away from the fear. Not only does he know the path away from the fear, but he has created the path away from the fear. He has created a place of righteousness and holiness for you and I to walk in, and made it so that we can walk in it. Thank the Lord for that this morning. That's part of the good news of the gospel. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I don't think Peter knew what all that meant at that moment. But I think he became more aware as life went on. You see, it's not unlike you and I, is it? When we start out with the Lord, when I first got saved, oh, that night was fantastically special. I know how the weight of sin that I came to the altar with, and I know when it rolled away, and I know how it felt, and I know the joy of the Lord that flooded over my soul, all the hatred and anger that rolled away. I know what that's like. I wasn't well equipped to be fishers of men that night, but I had a little bait. And I know what the Lord gave me that night. I know that after that evening or that night, it had to have been probably in the morning hours, because I got saved. It was probably getting close to 11 o'clock or so that night at Monarch, one of those long nights where people were getting saved a long time. I was one of the last ones that night that got saved. And it's probably past curfew at Monarch when somebody saw me out walking, and I had a big old smile on my face. He said, you look happy. And I said, oh, I am. I said, I believe if I could put this in a bowl, if I could somehow get it in a bowl and get a spoon and start giving people a taste of what I've got tonight, I think I could convert the world. I wish I could get people to taste what I had that night. I still have it. Something the Lord has given us that can be ours and is ours and stands as an anchor for our soul. Peter, when he heard in that night, I wasn't well equipped to be fishers of men, but the Lord develops us as we go. As we commune with him, you see, as we walk with him. Peter, from this moment, 11th verse, let's go ahead and read. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed. They forsook all and followed. They gave up things that had previously been precious to them and had found something that was more precious, something that overshadowed their fishing boats. I don't know what happened to the fishing boats, and I'm not sure Peter and James and John and Andrew, I'm not sure they cared what happened to the fishing boats. They found a vision that was greater, that fed their soul, that went beyond any fishing trip. And God asks us to do that also. There's some things along this path of life as he begins to commune with our very souls. And we feel that conviction and that convincing that touch of the Lord that comes down in our heart, and that word of God that comes there and convinces us of his truth. Many times that stands so as a monument, and it shows up something that's unlike Christ. And he says, leave that. You don't need that, child. Don't need it. Lovingly, he calls us away from our nets, from the things that used to be precious to us. He lovingly calls us away from that to another path, a path that shines more and more into a perfect day. Lord, bless us all. You see, it's not easy. The Lord knows it. It's not easy to leave behind perhaps your nets or your boats, the things that you are accustomed to. We have routines of life. All of us do. There are things before I got saved that there's patterns of life that had to be completely undone. But you know why it was easy to undo that? Because I caught a vision of something else. Used to, when I came to services, you younger ones probably would never think this of me. During services, I was one back in the corners, sometimes making fun of things that was going on. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but that's what used to be me. But all right after that, when I got saved at Monarch, I didn't feel comfortable sitting on, and I know there's back, people need to sit. I'm not throwing off on people need to sit in the back. It's okay. But I know what happened the next day when I didn't feel comfortable. I wanted to move up because I wanted to be up. I didn't want to miss what was going on. Something changed in me. Used to, I sat back there because I hated being there. But now I sit up front because I love being there. The difference, you see, God calls us away from things of the past. And I didn't care. I didn't care about that anymore. Didn't need to impress anybody. I still don't need to impress anybody. That's a horrible weight to carry. Go around trying to think you got to impress everybody. That's a horrible weight. Just throw that yoke off and just take on Christ. His yoke's easy. Just love him. Follow after him. Allow him to change us. Allow his word to be precious to our heart. Gather ourselves around his feet and say, teach me, Lord. Oh, my heavenly Father, let me come up just real close. Let me feel your touch. Oh, let me get in this closet alone. Let me talk with you in the cool of the day. I want that place with you, that communion where your truth is so rich and right in my soul. Just like God loved to talk with his children in the Garden of Eden, he still loves to talk with his children today. He wants us to talk with him, yes. Communion, that's what this is. When we commune with our Father, oh, what wonderful times those are. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. If by simple faith in Jesus I abide, then my soul is fully satisfied. I found it, Lord, in thee, an everlasting joy of comfort, joy, everlasting store of comfort, joy, and peace, and bless. Anyway, I'm sorry I'm not quoting it well. But that's what we found in our Lord. That's what he has for us. And I see our young folks back there, and I'm so encouraged to see them and their desire to walk with the Lord. I can just tell you, the farther you'll go, the more you'll learn. And the more you learn, the more you'll be like him. Trying to think where this one, I think it's also in the book of Corinthians where it talks about we beholding his glory as in a glass. And we with open face, and we all with open face, beholding his glory, I'm not maybe quoting that exactly right. Beholding his glory as in a glass, are changed into his image. That's what the Lord, he wants us to associate ourselves, to walk with, leave our nets, follow him. Leave that other part behind. There's something greater. And as we behold His glory, as I begin to perceive, behold is not just a glance, but it's a pondering on. It's a musing on things above. It's a investing my time and my effort in this. Oh, stand and gaze upon Him until His very character begins to sink into your soul and you're changed and He equips you to truly be fishers of men. Well, I want to encourage us today to follow after the Lord. Leave our nets. Leave our past. Associate intentionally with Him. Intentionally come near unto our Lord. Get in your closets. Get in our quiet places. Spend some time with Him. You'll never get to know someone as well as what you do when you spend time with them. If you want your marriage to be enriched, spend time together. Loving time, not arguing time. And you can let the devil in there, but spend time together. If you want to enjoy your salvation, if you want to enjoy this marriage relationship with the Lord, spend time with Him. If you want to be more like Him, spend time with Him. Get to know Him. And your life will be blessed. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.